Welcome to the podcast for Psychosomatic Medicine. As the rates of obesity have soared, the incidence of diabetes has also climbed. Many people are familiar with the health problems that often accompany these two conditions, including cardiovascular disease, stroke, and retinopathy. But it's also becoming apparent that the brain is also at risk. In a special issue, Psychosomatic Medicine presents a collection of papers on diabetes, obesity, and the brain. Here to talk about the issue are the journal's editor-in-chief and the two guest editors for the issue.
Hello, my name is Willem Kopp. I'm editor-in-chief of the journal Psychosomatic Medicine.
I'm Sue Everson-Rose, an associate editor with Psychosomatic Medicine and one of the guest editors of this special issue on diabetes, obesity, and the brain.
I'm John Ryan. I am a guest editor for the special issue of Psychosomatic Medicine.
This is a very interesting special issue. We're very happy to have this in Psychosomatic Medicine. And first of all, I think it's important to briefly summarize why we focus on both obesity and diabetes.
Yes. So obesity and diabetes are growing epidemics in this country. In fact, just yesterday, there was a published report in JAMA Internal Medicine that documented in adults in the U.S. age 25 and older that the prevalence of obesity is higher than the prevalence of overweight. So it is a continuing problem, a continuing epidemic. And we know that the majority of cases of diabetes in this country, which are estimated at over 29 million, are due to obesity. It's even more striking when you consider the epidemic of obesity and consequent diabetes in young adults. The latest statistics suggest that in the past 20 years, that the prevalence of newly diagnosed cases of diabetes in persons under age 20 has grown from less than 5% of those cases 20 years ago to about 20% today. So this is clearly a huge public health problem. That motivated us to hold a special one-day conference with the American Psychosomatic Society focused on diabetes and obesity and their consequences in the brain. And this special issue grew from that, really highlighting the latest findings in this area.
Excellent. Very interesting. And so as I understand things correctly, it is not only that diabetes and obesity affect peripheral disease processes, but also cognition and brain function. Is that correct?
Yeah, the peripheral problems that are associated with diabetes are well documented. These are things like retinopathy, neuropathy, and nephropathy. But it's also been consistently shown that diabetes is associated with cognitive difficulties. So people with type 1 diabetes tend to perform more poorly on tasks of things like motor speed and task switching. But people with type 2 diabetes show decrements in processing speed and executive functioning. Luckily, now with the advances that we've had in neuroimaging and especially MRI technology, we're now able to start understanding the neural pathways that underlie these difficulties and understand that the consequences, and especially the micro and macrovascular complications that are associated with diabetes, also extend to the central nervous system. And we can start identifying these pathways in the brain that underlie these decrements.
So in this special issue, we present 10 articles. They're organized to show the impact of type 1 and type 2 diabetes on brain structure, function, and metabolism. We also have studies in the special issue that talk about the impact of obesity on brain function. One study addresses the issue of inflammation and whether that can play a role. And we also have a review article talking about the scaffolding theory of aging that really puts in context how the aging brain is subject to insults because of obesity and diabetes. And so it might affect the supporting systems that we have to promote healthy brain aging.
I think one of the most difficult things that there is about studying diabetes in the brain is that you have to bring together researchers from such diverse interdisciplinary areas. You need to have individuals with endocrine background. You need to have aging experts. You need to have individuals who are specialists in neuropsychology. And now coming into the neuroscience realm, it brings an entirely new level of expertise that's needed. And one of the things that this special issue does is it draws upon these various disciplines, ranging from basic research, as Dr. Figelwicks presents, into theoretical models, as Dr. Bischoff and Park present. And they all build into this kind of lifespan perspective of realizing that diabetes, especially type 1, but increasingly type 2, is a disease that can start in childhood. It's a chronic disease that lasts throughout the lifespan. And what we're now dealing with is these individuals with diabetes, as we've increased our understanding and improved our care for their clinical characteristics, are now living longer. And one of the longest findings and most consistent theories of diabetes has been this kind of idea that diabetes represents a sort of accelerated aging. So there's a consistent finding that the brains of individuals with type 2 have this global brain atrophy similar to if they were 3 to 5 years older and healthy. And this atrophy actually occurs at a faster rate than a normal aging. When you combine this with the increased risk for Alzheimer's disease in individuals with type 2 that's been shown in STEM studies, these results really are give us an impetus to start really better understanding how aging and diabetes are going to interact in this increasingly more prevalent disease and increasingly aging population.
So one of the interesting findings that's presented is this notion that age of onset matters, but maybe not quite in the way that we expect.
One of the things that we found in our study that looked at the childhood age at diagnosis and functional connectivity in midlife, we fully expected that an earlier age at diagnosis would be associated with poorer brain connectivity. But what we ended up finding was actually the inverse. It was later age at diagnosis in childhood was associated with the lower connectivity. But most interestingly, this interacted with the current age of the participant in that this association was particularly strong in individuals who were now older. And so one of the things that several of these papers and the general literature is starting to kind of start to realize is this idea of the period and the critical periods that these diseases have their onset and when you get the glucose levels under control and deal with the vascular factors may have different effects in the lifespan, especially during childhood when it's different, you know, when you're a younger child versus when you're going through puberty. And when you're in adolescence especially, it's harder to get the glucose levels under control. And so understanding how these critical periods interact with the onset of the disease is going to be an important future direction.
Additionally, we have two papers that looked at the relation between diabetes and cognitive functioning in minority populations. And the social context clearly is important. In the paper by Dr. Dorr and his colleagues, they showed that it was African Americans with diabetes and living below the federal poverty level who really had the reduced memory and executive functioning. And so it really highlights the importance of this social context. The findings by Dr. Luxinger and colleagues are especially noteworthy because they showed that even amongst people who had prediabetes, their blood sugar levels were elevated. These individuals also showed decrements in executive functioning, highlighting the fact that the impact on cognition actually starts occurring early in the disease process. This knowledge is important when we consider potential interventions and ways to prevent declines in cognitive aging.
So what we've tried to put together in this special issue is a somewhat representative sample of the levels of analysis that are used to understand the complexities that are involved in understanding how diabetes and obesity affect brain structure, function, and cognition. But there's really several unexplored areas that we haven't addressed that are going to be important to continue to address in the future to understand all of the pathways that link these disorders to brain structure, function, and cognition. These include cytokines. We do have one paper that explores the role of inflammation in bariatric surgery, but the adipose tissue that's associated with obesity doesn't result in an increase in cytokines that are associated with decrements in cognition and mood. A constant finding in the literature that's strongly suggested is that it's the vascular changes that occur in type 1 and type 2 diabetes, as well as obesity, that result in microvascular complications. And these microvascular complications extend to the brain. A recent study found that middle-aged individuals with type 1 diabetes had abnormally high levels of white matter hyperintensities. That's an indicator of microvascular damage. An additional topic that's become very popular and very recognized of recently is the role of the microbiome. And understanding the role of the microbiome and gut-brain communication and the role that it plays in the inflammation and the communication with the brain is a major future direction. And finally, identifying modifiable risk factors and interventions, such as physical activity, that we can use to try to stop the pathogenesis of this disease or reverse the pathology that's already occurring in conjunction with these diseases, is going to be critical for not only improving quality of life in these individuals, but also reducing the medical costs that are associated with these morbidities.
The special issue is organized to really present this broad range of research. It's at the forefront of what we know about neurocognitive mechanisms related to obesity and diabetes. Psychosomatic Medicine is pleased to bring this special issue to our readership. We have an interest in this because of the strong biobehavioral mechanisms that link obesity and diabetes to brain structure and function, and feel that this collection of papers really highlights the current state of the art and what we know about these epidemics and their impact on healthy aging.
That concludes the discussion of Psychosomatic Medicine's special issue, which was published in July 2015, Volume 77, Issue Number 6. To read the articles, please visit the journal's website at www.psychosomaticmedicine.org.